Dear friends, brothers and sisters, who is Jesus Christ? This is the big question that we have been asking for 21 centuries, and it is the question that the liturgy this Sunday addresses. There are various responses: a prophet, Elijah or Jeremiah, for example, or another, John the Baptist. Peter, on behalf of the 12, comes to affirm that he is the Messiah of God. For Jesus, the responses are insufficient, and he gives himself the name of the Son of Man, who will end his life on the cross. The confession of faith from Peter and the invitation of Jesus to follow him along the path of the cross defines the style of what must be the faith of the church, understood as the following of Christ and as communion with the Paschal mystery. Gazing on Christ crucified, he is not limited to a distant contemplation, but it leads us to walk by his side, to carry our cross each day, to lose our life, to gain it forever. In the Gospel, brothers and sisters, St. Luke narrates Jesus does not ignore the opinion of the people, but considering it insufficient, he corrects and completes it. The people think that Jesus is a prophet, and in this they are correct. They think that he is not just any prophet, but one of the important ones: Elijah, perhaps Jeremiah, or even John the Baptist resurrected. Jesus does not reject the title of prophet, but he makes it clear that it does not totally say who he is. The comparison with Elijah, Jeremiah, or John the Baptist not only falls short, but they are figures with diverse subjects that he does not identify. Jesus is truly a great prophet who speaks in the name of God and reads the story of man by the light of a divine sign. But he is much more. The contemplation of Christ must lead us to the confession of faith. You are the Messiah of God. So many books we have been written throughout the centuries about Jesus. The opinion and the hypothesis about him fills entire libraries. Our times, just in all the times, run the risk to understanding Christ according to their own ideology or interest, and in this way mutilate or misinterpret him. He himself interrogates the disciples. Who do you say that I am? He repeats this question to each of us. Who am I for you? A great and interesting man? A just character and defender of truth? The response of the disciples was quickly and short. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And for us, it is a gift that has sustained our faith for centuries. We know, brothers and sisters, we know very well that Christianity, more than a doctrine, is a person. It's Jesus Christ in his being. He reunites the immensity of God and at the same time human tenderness. Do we wish to know him deeper and to measure in his love? The gospel today describes to us the outstanding experience of the apostles. It is the moment of discovery. What fascination the master must have caused from the first moment? Progressively, a different and new Christ begins to appear before the eyes of the apostles. When he returns sight to a blind man or healing a leper, when he multiplies the bread or calms the storm, when he brings Lazarus back to life, and when he transforms the water into wine, when he knows the intention of people's heart, and when he shows indignation at the profanation of the temple, when he formulates paradoxes that he calls beatitudes, or when he narrates parables like the one of the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the lost sheep, when he is transfigured on Mount Tabor, and when he cries at the Gethsemane and he dies on the cross. This discovery of Christ must be personal, and it is not transferable. Each one must walk all the stages of the long path that the apostles followed. How many times do we think we know him and we are content with a superficial reading of the gospel narratives? The gospel events are an open window to the deep mystery. With loving eyes, we must contemplate the person of Jesus Christ so that we may understand a little. We know that to follow Christ, it's necessary to suffer and to confess his name in our pain. Jesus in the gospel makes his disciples see that the condition for following him is the cross. As St. Paul tells us, as we are incorporated by baptism in Christ, we are also incorporated by his cross. Our lives, brothers and sisters, necessarily entails crosses and joys. Christ, on the other hand, gives us a new vision to die in order to live, to lose our lives in the world, to gain it in eternity. The cross does not make sense or reason for us if it is not by the light and unity of the cross of Christ. Only in this way, pain and denial are converted into the necessary path of holiness, because if one wishes to follow Christ, he must deny himself, pick up his cross each day, and follow him. Only when a believer raises his eyes to see the one they have pierced, does God permit him to receive the intimate nature of Christ, who is love. We know that the ineffable test of love is to accept suffering for person we love. Could we have the certainty that God loves us if it were not for the cross of Christ? What kind of love would he have if it did not cost him anything? St. Paul calms us when he exclaimed, looking at the cross, "He loved me and he gave his life for me." The best book that reveals Jesus Christ to us is the cross. We cannot look elsewhere. We are Christians by the measure that we enter into the logic of the cross. And we need to know the crucified Christ. The cross is the path with which Jesus lives and judges pain. In it, he reveals an unknown but profoundly true image of God. We will never be able to satisfy completely the innumerable questions that stem from human suffering. There will always remain in us the instinct to flee from pain. However, the cross of Jesus indicates the direction that we must to go. When this inner discovery is made, one can ardently yearn, knowing that it identifies us with Christ, the Redeemer, and we can exclaim, O cross, inseparable companion of the sweet years of my suffering for my God. First, I suffered you with patience. Then I carried you with pleasure. And today, I embrace you with love. Amen.